Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Try and imagine a world without TMS in it. Not pretty, is it? Well, you can help save us from such a fate by being part of the family at patreon.com/TMS. Coming up on the morning stream, you can have a little esque as a treat.
Keep the hairy part.
I'm a go twist an Oreo.
Clunky pixel font.
Glock is extra.
Feces of death.
Coy oat.
Cancelled for backbiting.
Crunching the onions.
Pale ale fail.
Does anyone know the price of stamps? Because I really wanted to know.
Getting funky in the clip clop.
The best defense is a strong stench.
Why make a new place smell like poo?
Blame Dave.
Ibuprofen with Dan and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
A little closer. My eyes ain't as good as they used to be.
Wrap your mind around that one, dude.
The Morning Stream. That's the bravest thing I've ever seen a vegetable do.
Good morning and welcome to TMS. It is the morning stream for Tuesday, April 18th, 2024. I'm Scott Johnson and that's Brian Ibbett. Hello, Brian.
Hi. Hey, Lieutenant Dan.
I said 18th. I meant 16th. Sorry, everybody.
That's all right.
You know what it
was?
You're
still saying 2024, so I can't fault you.
The problem with the widescreen monitor is I have perfect 2020 right here at this distance, like in front of me. But because these are so wide, and if I eyeball it out of the corner of my eye, that 6 looks like an 8. Unless I go like this. Oh, yeah, it's an 8. Yeah. Or it's a 6.
I have the problem that slice and dice game, I cannot tell the 6s, 9s, and 8s apart because it's all these clunky pixels. And,
yeah, clunky pixel font. Yeah,
clunky pixel font.
I wish they'd like gave you an option in that game in particular to just switch to like a more smoothed out font.
Yeah. Look, I get it. You know, you like doing the pixelated graphics because it's quirky and fun and trendy, but give me real text. You know, a phone can actually display real text and give me real text in those spots. Thanks.
Yeah. There's a bunch of games that do this. There's no reason this one couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's one developer, so maybe we're asking too much. I don't know.
Yeah, we're asking a lot for one guy.
But poor one guy. That one guy. He's having a moment, and we want to celebrate it with him. You know,
it's a great game.
Yeah. He's selling well on Steam, all that kind of stuff. Well, hey everybody, we're here. We're gonna do a show. It's I don't even know what day it is. Tuesday, I guess. There's a lot going on. My wife comes home tonight. I'm very excited about that.
Yay!
Yeah. I got Brian Holinka on the word on the street today, although it's just him and I because
cool.
Greg's on his way to China for a whole thing.
And, so really, today's episode should be called Streets Off the Street.
Yeah, with another Brian.
Right, another. Scott does a show with yet another Brian.
All the Brians, man. That's my job, I guess, anymore in this world is to collaborate with people named Brian. But that'll be fun today. So there's just a lot going on, and so this is a good time for me to mention this.
Yeah.
I have been just a little down lately, just a little off my norm, just a little not sad, not depressed, little, just kind of
melancholy, morose.
Yeah.
I guess down. Why not? Nothing wrong with down.
I think it's the weather doing this and this and then this and the, you know, like there's something going on with the weather and I don't know. I'm just feeling. And then I got, you know, there's a lot going on before Vegas and I'm excited about Vegas. But then I'm also thinking, okay, I got all this shit to do before I go and I got to get some shows up and posted before I leave so they're scheduled to pop when we're gone. And, you know, So I just got all this on my mind, and it's making me kind of grouchy. Mm-hmm. So I did something that made me happy in my teens. And so I did it again. It's a thing I used to do that I used to love and that would just make me feel good, like comforty food thing for my teens. And I'm curious if you can guess what you think it might have been.
Playing with Star Wars action figures and going pew, 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 and having little battles on the bedspread.
I love that idea, but that is not what I did.
That's not it. Okay. No. Breaking out Super Mario Brothers and playing with a big, chunky, blocky NES controller and all that.
Oh, that also sounds great, but I did not do that, no. And also, I'll give you a date range here. Let's say.
And by the way, people, I know the answer that you all want me to say. You're all saying it in chat. I'm not going to say that because
you disgusting bunch of freaks.
Come on.
You're both you're
talk about too easy a pitch over home plate for me to fire that one to the uprights. Okay,
that's right. Twist an Oreo, says Lawhorn. That's not
also
bad.
Sounds like a euphemism.
It does. All of these things sound like fun
give me
things.
A few minutes. I'm going to go twist an Oreo. No way. Is this dog? I am. What is this dog? Okay. Owner walking down the path or in front of the sidewalk in front of my house.
Uh-oh.
Looking at her phone.
Uh-oh.
Big white dog about to take a dump in my front yard.
Yep. And they're going to, you got to see if they're going to pick it up or not, right?
There's for a split second, I wanted to bang on the monitor. like she'd actually be able to hear me hitting the window.
Do you have a way to go? Hey. What you, I mean, no. If you do it on your phone, I guess. Or
I don't. Yeah. No, I don't even. There's no speaker on that camera.
Oh.
Okay. Then move along. Good. She's moving along. She finally figured out and she's moving along.
Did they poo or no?
No, no.
Okay.
Dog started a little, like he was looking, right? You know how they're sniffing the ground like they're trying to find the perfect place that already doesn't smell like poo? Because why make a new place smell like poo if you know? If it already smells like poo, you need a new place to smell like poo.
Now, what would you do if I were you? Here's the thing.
Yeah.
What would you do if that lady suddenly stopped, put her phone in her pocket, and she squatted down to take a dump on your grass? I know what I would do. I would immediately grab the camera that's on you right now, and I would pull that over and aim it at your screen.
Yeah, exactly. I don't care how many little plastic Micronauts that I have stuck to the top of this monitor I'm looking at right now, but I would 100% grab that camera and focus it on there so that everybody can enjoy the thing.
I'd have to say
yeah, can't even turn on the sprinklers because we don't have them enabled yet because we're still got cold weather going on still,
we haven't done ours yet either. We could have probably on Thursday because it was like 72 if we thought the weather was going to hold, but it didn't. So it's cold again. Last night it got low, so we ain't doing that. But anyway, Brian, can you guess?
Yeah. Boy,
I'll give you a date range to help you. Okay,
help so
this would have occurred somewhere between the years 1982 and 1987, 1988.
Okay, so because it's narrowed down to a year, I don't think it's going to be video game related because you can play games anytime and do that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing it's either a movie series or a TV series, and more likely a TV series because of a 5 or 6 year date range.
Very good.
You watched.
This is Brian's puzzled pint brain at work, everybody. I love this.
That's right. You always look at the way they why did they ask the question in that way?
Yep.
You watched a TV show. You watched The Dukes of Hazzard.
Incorrect. However, you are correct that it's a TV show. I'll give you another hint, and maybe this will help you. It happened every day. Monday through Thursday, occasionally on Fridays. Oh. It almost sounds like TMS, but it's not.
Got it. Occasionally on Fridays, too,
yeah.
All right. Oh, Monday through Thursday, occasionally on Fridays. Oh, you watched old episodes of David Letterman?
Ding. You are correct.
Yeah.
I watched old ass like 1984, 1986, kind of jumped around. They got all kinds of full episodes on YouTube. And, I'm telling you, if you guys don't know this about me, it's a thing to know.
Yeah.
I was obsessed back then. I was late for school, not late, but tired for school every day because I stayed up for late night with David Letterman every freaking night. My friend Bill and I would talk about it and every chance we did through the day because we were both obsessed.
Mm-hmm.
I would record it. I've mentioned this before with a little tape recorder next to my speaker on my TV. I would record it the same night I'm watching it, and then I would listen to it on my Walkman during the school day when the teachers were watching.
Gosh.
I would sneak it in. I was that obsessed with it. And I haven't watched it in a lot of time. So for me to watch these old ones and see Stupid Pet Tricks and watch who's the
Larry
Columbus?
Bud Melman or Chris Elliott popping in there.
Chris Elliott was on last night, in fact, and so was Larry Bud Melman.
Watch Crispin Glover almost kick David Letterman in the head because he is snorting too much coke before he comes out on stage.
Yep.
Or
yep.
Andy Kaufman doing a fake little bit with
who was the wrestler? Jerry
Pencil
Lawler?
Neck geek
Jerry,
guy.
Jerry
Lawler. Yeah, Jerry Lawler. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, Jerry Lawler.
That's it. Something about that sounds weird, but I think you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I wasn't looking for specific interviews, but I was just like, oh, his pre-show stuff. Oh, there's listener mail or viewer mail. Then there was, he did this thing where there was.
Probably the top 10 lists, of course.
Oh, yeah, of course. Stuff. Of course. He did a thing last night, or the thing I watched last night was fish cleaning night. And it's it's where everybody in the audience got to have a fish. And got to clean it, like open it and clean it. And for some reason, like Mariel Hemingway came out and was showing everyone how to do it. It's just weird. But anyway, it was the most comfort
movie star 80, Mariel Hemingway.
Yeah. And it was the most comfort food freaking night of it. Cheered me. It cheered me the F up. I slept better. I felt better. I was like, you know what? This is great. I'm 12 again, 12 to 18, just consuming this like nobody's business. And and loving it. Now, say what you want about. I know Dave can be a acquired taste for some people. He's not everyone's mm-hmm. favorite late night talk show host. But for me, sure. It's the pinnacle of the art. It never got better than that guy. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Love it.
Will it float?
Yeah.
The what was it? Women wearing armor, holding belt sanders or something like that, where they get the sparks flying off of them. And
yeah. I mean, he's chiefly responsible for me wanting to do any of the shit we're doing.
Yeah.
Like this morning.
Well, your humor definitely is inspired.
Oh, yeah.
Not a ripoff at all, but inspired by the way Letterman.
Yeah. If you watched Letterman at all, you'll hear me say things all the time that are reminiscent.
Yeah.
Like there was a time in high school where I was full on. I just talked like him all day.
Mm-hmm.
It was a real obsession.
You'd talk to some imaginary friend named Paul.
Yeah.
Isn't that right, Paul?
Yeah, what do you think, Paul? Oh, he was killing me last night. He was saying some funny stuff. And by the way, nobody was funnier on there than when Don Rickles would come on. Holy shit.
Oh, really? I get it. I need to go find an episode. I love Rickles, man.
He's so funny. He's so good with Dave. And also, Charles Grodin's episodes are always good. Who's the other guest I just loved? Oh, before, I guess he was kind of shamed after a while, but Albert, George, what was his name? Something Albert, the sports guy.
Oh, Marv Albert.
Marv Albert would come on all the time, he was great on there. But then didn't he get in trouble for biting somebody's neck?
He bit a woman on the back.
That's what it was, yeah. And that was the end of that.
I don't know why or like what the situation was,
That was the first example of an actual canceling, I feel like, where it really worked.
Yeah, I think it was, yeah.
Because people who claim to get canceled now, they don't really get canceled. They just do fine. In fact, they do better usually with the kind of controversy you get today.
Sometimes, yeah. Maybe not so much Gina Carano, but
that's true.
Most of them do.
That's true. She just hasn't parlayed it yet. She needs to figure out how to...
She needs to turn out... Yeah, exactly. Figure out how to turn that into... Like, first it's a little bit on Family Guy, and then... Yeah.
But also, anytime Norm was on was amazing. Mm-hmm. So anyway, seek it out. There's a ton of it.
Norm
YouTube's
McDonald's,
YouTube just got oodles and oodles of Letterman content that is just there for you to watch. And if you didn't grow up with it, I get it. It may not be your thing. Maybe your guy's Conan. Hell, our guy is Conan. We like Conan. Conan's great. But there was just something then. I can't explain it. It was just a right moment, right time, right guy. Freaking loved him.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see, like, all right, which, who wouldn't we have if we didn't have Letterman? Who did he inspire into the medium that we wouldn't have now, or would be such a different person, just a different comedian if we didn't have Letterman?
I'm not sure you'd have.
Kimmel, Fallon.
Well, I don't know. Fallon, he's a little milquetoast for me. I can't do. I can't watch Fallon and enjoy it very much.
A little too sanitized, but still.
I feel like Conan O'Brien's the best example of a guy who probably wouldn't have gotten the gig had it been any other way. Like, if you had not followed up with Letterman, who was already quirky and weird and different, and then you can come in and be also quirky, weird, and different in the same time slot, like, I feel like that paved the way for him. Yeah, I don't know. I can't think of anybody else. A lot of comedians got their start on there, got their first...
for sure. Jake Johansson was... Yeah. I'm hearing myself coming back from your speakers all of a sudden.
Oh, that's weird. Still?
Did you just switch something? Did you hit a button, Scott? Okay, now it's fixed. Whatever.
That was weird.
Yeah.
Discord, thanks a lot.
Craig Kilborn, like, originally on The Daily Show, very Letterman-esque. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And yes, folks... I'll throw out one esque for you because, you know.
It's been a while.
It's like a little piece of candy for you guys.
Yeah, it's been some time.
Like those little pieces of candy every once in a while.
Yeah, yeah. I like a little esque here and there. Yeah, also, Carter and I put up that cooking video, and you can go see it now. It's us making vegetarian jambalaya, and we did, I think, a pretty decent job. I've eaten it twice yesterday. So
you did a great job. Yeah, that was a lot of fun to watch. Yeah. I am going to do a little short video, I think, and show you how to cut an onion. There's a really cool way to cut an onion that...
please do.
Yeah.
I'll feature it.
You know that hairy part?
Yeah.
Keep the hairy part on there for a little bit because you actually want something to hold the onion together while you make other cuts into it. But basically, what it comes down to is you cut the onion in half top to bottom. And I say bottom is the hairy part.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then... and then you take off the paper.
Yeah.
And then you do some horizontal cuts, but don't go all the way through to the root.
Okay.
You do some radial cuts, but don't go all the way through to the root. So basically, you are basically making little onion fingers that are all connected at the root, right? You're just basically going this way and this way and this way and this way. And then you go and it is already small diced
so it's like you cut it to be like a blooming onion sort of
start with. Perfect example. Right, exactly. And then you got the little hairy part, you toss it.
Okay.
Into the compost bin.
You know what? I like it. I'm gonna do it. Yeah, you should send a little video of you doing it, and then I'll put it in the
video. I'd still do it. I got to figure out when we're going to use the onion. But I throw onion into, like I do scrambled eggs a lot, so I'll put them in a little Tupperware and save the onion for when I'm going to have some scrambled eggs.
Outside of jambalaya, nobody here in this house likes onions the way I do. I love them on everything.
Oh, I love onions. Purple onion or red onions.
All of them.
Yellow onions, white onions.
I don't even mind. Like, a lot of people are like, well, if it's grilled, fine. I like a burger with some raw effing onions on there, dude.
Crispy, you know, you people are like, oh, what about lettuce? Like, well, you give me a good crispy onion, that's the whole purpose of the lettuce, is to just give some crunch, because lettuce doesn't add any flavor. It just adds crunch if you've got crunchy lettuce.
Yeah.
Give me an onion. I'll take that better, because that adds flavor and crunch.
Yeah, and it's just, oh, man, there's nothing like a fresh raw onion. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, when I was a kid, I would have fought myself on this. I would have had like two today
a fight. Right, yeah.
Because I hated them, dude. They were so gross. I do not eat onions like people eat apples, whoever just said that.
Yeah.
Who said
that? Oh, gosh.
Free rangers.
Just a bite out of an onion like that. And garlic. Give me lots of garlic.
Oh, yeah. And there's...
Whether it's a head, a bulb, or I found a knob of garlic.
Is that really... That's another way of saying it?
That's another way of saying the collection of cloves is a knob of garlic.
Yeah. Because Brian reached out and said, hey, it's a bulb. And I went, oh, right. That's the word we were looking for. Because the clove is the section... We thought the clove is the whole unit.
In
the video. So we're learning, you know. We don't cook and Carter that much. She does more than I do, but I don't do shit. As evidenced by the video.
You guys did a great job though. Very good. Yeah, the garlic that you put in there, even before the peppers and the onions, I say put the garlic in there and blossom. Like, you basically start getting the stuff coming out of the garlic, and then you put the onions and the celery and the peppers in to let it absorb that garlic flavor.
Yeah, we've talked off camera about this a little bit, but the we were supposed to do the garlic, the onions, and kind of that's it, and maybe the oil.
Yeah,
and
let those simmer for a while. That's true. Yeah, and then put the less flavorful veggies in there, the crunch veggies. Your peppers, your celery, et cetera.
Someone in the chat says their husband is very allergic to onions. Oh, wow.
Oh, that sucks.
How would you...
Just onions or other... Is onion one of the night... No, onion's not a nightshade, is it?
I don't know. Is it?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't think so.
Onions are... Because that would be kind of cool, wouldn't it? Like a Harry Potter kind of vibe. Okay, yeah. Your nightshade vegetables include
mushrooms for sure.
Potatoes. Is a potato really a? I guess it is.
Yeah.
Okay, several different nightshade. Okay, so potato salad, hash brown, bell peppers.
Oh.
Which we did yesterday or did in the video. Baba ganoush. Oh, that's a dish though.
Mm-hmm.
Eggplant. Bruschetta. That's weird. Oh, they're saying what you can make out of some of this. Okay.
Oh, sure. Right.
Well, anyway. Don't the bottom line is don't eat things you're allergic to. You know? Don't eat if you're allergic to an onion, do not eat that shit.
Oh, mushrooms are not. I thought for some reason I thought mushrooms were nightshade. So peppers, tomatoes, potatoes are.
What's a mushroom then? Is that that's a fungus, I
it's
guess.
It's just a fungus. Yeah. It's a fungus among us.
When you think too hard about what mushrooms are, it can get kind of weird in your head, you know?
Yeah, I don't think about it.
I try not to because I love mushrooms. They're amazing. I'm a huge fan. Yeah. Like, I had pizza the other day with some mushrooms all over that thing. I'd said two toppings minimum for this deal we got, this coupon. And I said, you know what? Can I have double the mushrooms? How about that? I'll do that any day of the week, man.
Any day, yeah.
Anyway, YouTube.com/Scott Johnson is where the video resides. It's in the Monday show thing. So you guys can get it there. Brian, you remember yesterday that drunk guy called? Or we thought it was a drunk guy. We didn't know.
Yeah, not yesterday, but a couple days ago. It was a couple days? Last week, wasn't it?
Was it? Time, dude. What even is it? But we got a follow-up. And here
cool. Excellent.
Yep, here it is.
Hey, I was the drunk caller, the annoying dude. I am not drunk. I was playing One Piece, Pirate Warriors or something. I don't remember. And I was drinking a hazy IPA like an annoying West Coast guy. Love the show, though. Bye.
All right. I don't know what's weirder, his original call.
I was drinking a hazy IPA, but I definitely wasn't drunk yet.
Isn't that IPA by definition? Aren't they all hazy? They're all kind of thick and hazy, aren't they?
No. Well, I don't think. Hazy, I think, is just super hoppy. Am I right on that? This is where, you know, going to the beer fest year after year. So an Indy Pale Ale is an IPA.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a style. Hazy is a style of IPA. And is it the hops that makes it? Unfiltered. Duh, of course. That's what makes it hazy.
And so in there, so chunks in there, like floating or what?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's fine.
Yeah.
So it's like pulp. It's like.
They're not that thick, though. I mean, it's not like. It's not. It is still not even close to a thickened liquid, just cloudy. It's like, have you ever had unfiltered? You probably haven't. I was going to say sake.
Nope.
There's your filtered sake and your unfiltered sake, and unfiltered sake kind of looks a little bit like milk.
Mm.
But it still has this roughly the same consistency. Hazy IPA still has the same consistency as a non-hazy IPA.
Well, hazy sounds gross in a drink, but I'm glad that you guys have your hazy drinks and that you enjoy them. And sure.
Yeah, more for other people because
that's right.
Give me a stout or a gin and tonic, and that's all I'm. That's where I'm going.
When they say indie IPA, that just means
India.
Oh, India.
India Pale Ale.
Oh, I thought it meant like independent brewer or something like that.
No, and I don't know why. I'm assuming it originated in India. Yeah. India Pale Ale was originally an export beer shipped to India, which was under the control of the British East India Company until 1858. So it's not a pale ale that comes from India. It's a pale ale that was shipped to India.
Got it. Okay. Okay. Yeah. That's interesting. I didn't know that. Yeah. I thought it was indie this whole time.
An indie pale ale.
Yeah. Like
you know, not part of a major label, bro. We're like an indie pale ale.
Yeah. Like that.
Yeah. Put some of that indie pale ale in the middle.
Yeah. Definitely not like, you know, indie, bad dates, not like that indie. Not that that's a problem, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah. It's usually like when I show up at the beer fest and I see the four pitchers in front of me from any brewery, the IPA is not the first one I go to. And I will pick the stout, then the brown ale, then the amber before I go with an IPA.
All right. Some advice as well, everybody.
Yes. Well, not advice. Preference. That's just where I go.
Okay.
Those are the order. That's the order that I go from.
You don't have to be like Brian, but it wouldn't hurt you if you were. All right. You do whatever you want to do.
This world would be such a better place if everybody was like me. It just would be.
It would be. We'd solve all our issues. This stuff in the Middle East, gone in the Middle East. No issues.
We'd be everybody be wearing Hawaiian shirts. We'd all be laid back. I'm not wearing a Hawaiian shirt today because it's a little cooler.
But, we'd wear a silly hat occasionally.
Wear
that
a silly
stuff.
Hat. It's a funny hat, Scott.
Sorry, funny hat. Sorry.
Funny hat.
Uh-oh, here comes a Jericho going, here comes funny hat again to take another war home.
Hey, look, it's funny hat guy. You again? You're on this podcast as well?
Yeah. But where is Chris Jericho? Oh, I'm sure he's fine. He's doing things. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
Check this out.
Yesterday is history today.
We're going to give you a little history. All right.
Okay.
Today, on this day, historical events of the day.
April 16th. Things that happened on April 16th.
Yep. In the year 1457 BC. Or what do they call it now? When they don't want to be religious, it's instead of BC and AD, it's chat, someone in the chat, BCE, is that right?
BCE, okay.
Yeah, before Common Era. Before Common Era. And Common Era, yeah. Yeah, it's a new way. I've seen a lot of...
I didn't know that was the reason for it. That totally makes sense. It's like, well, I'm agnostic. I'm an atheist. I don't believe in BC.
Yeah. I think they just are taking Jesus out of the timeline. I don't know. But anyway.
Yeah.
In 1457 BC, Egyptian forces of Thutmose III defeat a large Canaanite coalition under King of Kadesh. First battle recorded with a reliable account. That's an important thing to note because not that we'd like war, but, you know, the first war, documented war in history.
Yes, right. Which means there was a war documentarian, probably for the first time. Because if they weren't documented reliably before, that means you didn't have a reliable war documenter.
And yeah, exactly. That's 100% it. Yeah. In 1705 AD, so we're jumping way ahead, okay, on this day, Queen Anne of England knighted scientist Isaac Newton, which made him Sir Isaac Newton. At Trinity College. Yeah. That was a big deal. He got hit on the head with an apple, and then they said, you're a knight now.
True fact. We didn't have gravity until that apple landed on Sir Isaac Newton's head. And then we said, stuff falls down. There must be a reason. It's the Earth is magnetic.
That's right. Here's one of my favorites. This one here is 1900. The year is 1900. U.S. Post Office issues its first stamp booklets. This contained 12, 24, or 48 different 2-cent stamps. That's back when stamps were 2 cents.
Wow.
1900, baby. I don't know what it is now. They're still ridiculously cheap, actually. If you think about it, they have been very resistant when prices go up?
Inflation.
Stamps are incredibly resistant to inflation. They're still stupid cheap by today's standards. I don't know how we do it. We have to be losing money on those. There's no way. Like, I can send a thing, like a little piece of paper, I can send to one of you guys in Kentucky for what, 38 cents?
I can't remember what. I don't know what it is now. We get those forever stamps. I honestly don't know how much. I couldn't even, I probably wouldn't even be within 10 cents of the actual price of a. Of what a stamp is. Is it 38? I thought they were higher, like 45 or something.
Well, they might be. I don't know. They're under a buck.
Slide 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 says, my Lord, it is not 38 cents.
48, says so Dr. Calhoun. What is it then? That's
Lesarge,
not that much.
63? Yeah, clearly nobody knows.
It's still, and everyone here is saying all these numbers.
Yeah, it's we have Rain Man in the chat room right now.
But
none
of them. 68,
iMac head. And nobody's saying the same number either.
Yeah, like, it's all stupid.
Lesarge 63. Dirtbox Fingers is talking pence, looks like.
Yeah.
TV's Travis 60 to 70.
72. So
if only this was available information that was available online. I don't even know if Alexa could tell me the price of a stamp right now. Let's ask. Let's ask really quick.
Yeah, let's see if she'll know. Brian will mute part of this. Yep, there you go. Postage rates.
Why United Kingdom? We're in America.
Yeah, this isn't. Come on, Amazon. What a load.
Okay, DJ Stengel.
Here it is. 68 cents. It's 68 cents.
DJ Stengel. It's 73. Just Googled it. TV's Travis says 68. Okay. Oh, it's because it's going up to 73.
Yeah. If you go to, okay, if you go to USPS.com, they have it listed right there. Letter stamp, standard size, rectangular envelope, 68 cents. And yes, it is about to go up to 73. That is correct. Mm-hmm. I still say that's insanely low.
It is ridiculous that I can, yeah, I mean, within reason, you can't put anything big or heavy in there or else you're going to need more stamps, but still.
Right. Like the fact that I'm saying take this folded piece of paper mm-hmm. and take it all the way from Salt Lake City, Utah mm-hmm. to Lexington, Kentucky, and please do it in a timely fashion and mm-hmm. also have it there without bending it and have multiple employees of various places have to deal with it and sort it. Hand carry it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like it's just such a, to me, it's strange. And every time rates go up internationally, we all freak out about it, but I'm like, well, of course they do. Of course they go up. This stuff mm-hmm. is insane. How does anybody do it for this cheap? Mm-hmm. Anyway. And then finally, in the year 2003.
In the year 2003.
The Treaty of Accession is signed in Athens, admitting 10 new member states into the European Union. Congratulations, guys. You did it. You did it.
Cool. Cool.
That's to look at today's history, today in history. Brian, we're going to do the news now, and the news is this right here. The news is brought to you by...
Transported to a weird place, a girl kills the first person she meets and then teams up with three strangers to kill again.
Name the movie.
Gina's favorite movie of all time, The Wizard of Oz.
Incorrect. This is... oh, wait. I didn't write it down. Now I don't remember. Hold on.
It's The Wizard of Oz.
No. Oh, yeah, it
Dorothy is. Dorothy kills the first person she meets and then teams up with three strangers to kill again.
Is that right?
Transported to a weird place, Oz, yeah, a girl, yeah, Dorothy, yeah, kills the first person she meets, Wicked Witch, and then teams up with three strangers, Tin Man, Cowardly Lion, Scarecrow, to kill again. Wicked yeah. Witch 2.
Yep, you're right. This is it. I couldn't remember. I always forget to write them down,
please,
so sometimes
please,
I throw
tell
myself.
Tell me how I'm wrong one more time. Tell no. me. Say it one more time. I dare you.
You're totally correct. Totally correct. All right. A customer shoots... A Chipotle worker over guacamole dispute in Michigan.
Oh,
geez.
Oh, no.
Come on now.
Yeah, because I bet I know what this is about. Because Qdoba gives you the guac for free. Qdoba charges you an upcharge.
Yeah, they do.
I don't know if this is really why, but...
it's probably not why, but I don't like that they do. A Chipotle employee in Southfield, Michigan was shot in the leg by a customer Friday night. Police sources told Fox 2, their local affiliate there. The shooting stemmed from an argument over guacamole. The shooting took place at a Chipotle in Evergreen Road, blah, blah, blah. Don't care about that. Quote, it was loud. And then we just all ran out, says Michael Beals, a customer who captured the incident on video. Ooh, do we have this on video?
Oh, that would be great. Yeah.
Well, anyway, the victim, 20-year-old man, is in stable condition. According to a release from Southfield Police, he was transported to a hospital where he is being treated for the non-threatening injury.
Good. Thank goodness.
I was just eating a bowl, and heard shouting. And then I looked over. They're arguing. One of the workers, went to the back. I don't know why, but when he was in the back, the customer walked around the counter, tried to grab his food and put it in a bag, said Thomas Huber, another witness. Then the employee came back, and they started fighting. And then we heard a gunshot. And then we just ran out as quick as we could.
Ooh, jeez. Wow.
Pretty intense, right?
Yeah.
Let's see if there's video. I want to see.
Trying to come up with a good pun for, you know, a fight and Chipotle and
it's hard, right? It's hard to know.
Chipotle, no chip.
Chipotle is not bad.
It's not bad. It's not HuffPo level though. There's something. There's
yeah. It's not as easy. Oh, okay. There's the video.
Oh, what'd you find? Did you find video?
Yeah, it's just it's on this link, but they cut away when the shot happens.
Oh well,
that's good. Boring. I want the dirty details, man. The guys,
oh, I don't want to watch somebody get shot in a Chipotle.
Well, he's okay, you know.
It's bad enough watching what comes out at me after I ate a Chipotle, let alone.
Speaking of which, there is a video going around of a guy who tried to intervene in a carjacking, mm-hmm. and the car getting jacked was like a big truck with a giant grill on the front and all this. Mm-hmm. And the guy could not stop him, tried to. And then the guy who stole the car peeled away, looped around, and then came back around and just slammed into this dude that tried to stop
him. Oh, God.
And
really?
Sent this guy flying. I don't know if he survived or I don't know what happened, but I don't even know why I got to see that. Somebody sends me these videos. You guys send me stuff sometimes. That was a listener who sent that and said, oh, you won't believe this. Did he survive? Good. Maniacal Industries? That's good. I don't like to think that I saw a killing on video.
No, I don't.
I'm not into it. Not a snuff film.
I definitely don't need to see that.
Yeah. I didn't even. I avoided Faces of Death as a teenager when everybody else was scrambling to see it.
Even though we know it's not real, but still, the time's like, no, I don't need to watch people dying or people in tremendous pain or.
I mean, at the time we thought it was real because we were stupid. You know, we were all a bunch of dumb teens and they told us it was real, so we believed it. But Faces of Death, so stupid, dude. And I know these exist. I know actual filmed deaths exist. I don't want to see it. I'm good.
You don't need to see it. Yep.
I'm fine.
Yeah.
Don't send it to me. Oh, I can watch people die in movies. That's no problem, Stephanie. Just die left and right in movies. Don't
care. Yeah, because it's all fake.
Yeah, it's all fake. None of that's real. Feces of death. All right, Icor. Slow down there, buddy. Let's get into this story. We're about to get an NHL team. We've talked about this a little on the show.
Oh, yeah, right.
Turns out it's the Arizona Coyotes. They're or Coyotes, however you want to say it.
Yeah. That's an interesting thing, too. Like, what will be the official pronunciation? Because I say coyote. Your first inclination was to say coyote.
Coyotes is very, very much. That's what I was brought up to say. It was coyotes, not coyote.
Coyote. Watch out for the coyote.
The talk is they're changing the name anyway, so it won't matter. But
No Z's in coyote.
Yeah, no Z's. You got to do
it. Put
it
at the end. Coyotes.
Coyote. Yeah. I don't like coyotes. That'll be a title.
Zygotes. It'll be as well. Except that's still not.
There's a whole bunch of proposed names.
Doesn't have enough Z's.
We just don't know yet what they're going to do. But anyway, they're relocating to here. This was, by the way, put in our Discord by Sunbun. It's a good reminder that if you're in our Discord and you find news stories you think are worthy for the show, then you can post them in there. I do check those every day. Arizona Coyotes or Coyotes players were informed Friday that the team is relocating to Utah. Sources told ESPN, confirming a report by the Phoenix Sports.
This just in from Andy. Scott, it is pronounced Coyote.
Coyote?
Coyote.
Coyote machete.
Coyote.
Wonderful.
Thank you, Randy. All right.
Thank you, Randy. Back to your pronunciation hole. Coyotes current manager Bill Armstrong met with players ahead of the game against the Edmonton Oilers to confirm what had been rumored last week. The NHL is working to facilitate a sale to Ryan, the dude that owns the Jazz right now, and Ashley Smith, owners of the Jazz. The Coyotes will begin playing there next season. So we will have an NHL team this next season. One thing they didn't say was, I assume they're just going to use the Delta Center. We do all sorts of ice stuff there, and it's plenty big.
Yeah, I would expect... expect so. That's obviously that's where the Jazz play, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So you've probably got a layer of ice underneath the hardwood floor.
Yeah, they used to do
that. They maintain.
They used to do it for the IHL team we had, the Eagles or whatever they were.
I was gonna say, does BYU or Utah State have a hockey team?
Oh, University of Utah.
College hockey?
No, they have...
I'm sorry, University of Utah, yeah.
Yeah, they don't have... As far as I know, they don't. Maybe they do. But they'd have to do it in the city. And if I had to guess, probably Delta Center. But we also have the Grizzlies Arena, which is our current IHL team. And the Grizzlies Arena with Z's, double Z's, that was built for the Olympics in 2002. For hockey, so that's why we even have that facility. And so my guess is they could do that one if they wanted, and that one's closer to me, and I wouldn't, that'd be great, because I'd love to just like pop over for games. And I like hockey a lot. Have I mentioned that before? Hockey's fun for me to watch.
Yeah, it's fun. It's an exciting, like, it is a fast moving exciting game. It's super expensive to go see it live here in Denver, and so we don't, but
I am hoping. I don't know who the Coyotes are currently rivaled with anybody, but I hope it's the Avalanche. You guys are probably just we're probably a shit team.
We have the Detroit Red Wings, I think, is our big rivalry, if I remember correctly. I don't know. Somebody else from Denver can chime in for a while, because it was they're the ones that we battled to, the first time we almost made it to Stanley Cup. It was the Red Wings that kept us out. So I don't know if that rivalry still continues to this day, or if we have another bigger rival.
But that's funny, because when I play NHL, whatever the year is, the video game, I will play by default, I will either play the Avalanche or the Red Wings because I just like those two teams.
Does somebody in a little pixelated dude in the crowd throw a an octopus onto the ice during a Red Wings game in the video game?
No.
Okay.
As far as I know, I don't remember that ever happening. I just downloaded the new one, in fact. But I wonder. So I guess that would mean the next EA game will feature the Utah, whatever we call them, and that's just not been decided yet. So we'll see.
Yeah. That would be a good. Submit your ideas now for the Utah hockey team. Let's see what everyone comes.
They're already
up
doing it. They got a whole like survey out. The owners of the Jazz have put out a survey. They're asking people what they want.
Nice.
The leader right now, I think, is the Blizzard because honestly, the best one's already taken for mountain teams, and that's Avalanche. That's so much better than Blizzard, but we'll take Blizzard. Mm-hmm. What was the other one? The Streak or something. I can't remember. I think it should be the shredded carrot jello salad is what we should call them.
There you go. Right, the Utah jello shredded carrot jello salads. Yeah. By the way, Denver Pioneers, the DU team, hockey team, Pioneers took the title, the National Hockey Championship title.
Oh, very nice.
Last night, I think.
Well done.
So it was a Sunday night that they did. So congratulations to the... to our local college hockey team.
Yeah, I like that. Oh, I like it also, I-Corps, the Utah Funeral Potatoes.
Utah Funeral Potatoes is really good.
Yeah. Someone else had said bees. We already have bees.
Yeah, you've got the buzz.
The buzz.
Right,
they used to be the bees. They changed them to the buzz, but there's already bee shit. Yeah. There is the other one that people like is the Yeti, but I don't like the sound. I like Salt Lake Yeti. I don't like Utah Yeti. It sounds weird.
Oh yeah, no, Salt Lake Yeti. That's good. I like that because it's icy. It's cold. Yeah. It's very. You can the mascot writes itself.
Mm-hmm. Like what do you got? I don't even
costume
know
from the Matterhorn in Disneyland. You're set.
What is the Avalanche mascot? You guys have one, right? What is it? Is it just a? It's not just a dude, is it?
It's not a. Dude, what? I don't know if we have a mascot.
Maybe you don't.
We have to, right?
I mean, the Jazz has a bear, so obviously you can just kind of do whatever you want. But
oh yeah, of course it's Bernie the Saint Bernard. Yes, we have a Saint Bernard who walks around and pours bourbon brandy out of his little neck barrel.
Oh, nice. I like that. Oh, the SLC Punks. Yeah. That's a great idea. Paleo Rocco, I like that. The SLC Punks. Mm-hmm. They're never going to do it.
SLC Punks is great. It's a nice reference.
Yeah, there. And you could do two Z's instead of the S at the end. It would totally work.
Right, Punks.
Anyway, more on that as we come up to it, but I am looking forward to it because I like hockey. Yeah. Speaking of other games, a Yu-Gi-Oh player. I love this story.
Okay.
This is a great story. A Yu-Gi-Oh player.
Is Yu-Gi-Oh still a thing?
It totally is. Those cards apparently are not as big as...
I just like doing that to people who goes, Pokemon Go still... People actually still play Pokemon Go?
In the case of Yu-Gi-Oh, I don't know if it's ever going to be as big as Pokemon, but I think it still has its people, right?
Somebody, I think so, yeah.
Somebody's into it. Anyway, Yu-Gi-Oh player quit a tournament because the opponent smelled bad.
Welcome to Yu-Gi-Oh tournaments. Is it your first time here?
Yeah, or any of these things, man. Of course,
or
Comic-Con,
or any of that.
BlizzCon, yeah. Any of it. If you wonder why BlizzCon was always so cold, why the air conditioning was blaring so hot, it's because everyone stunk so bad they had to do whatever they could. Anyway,
the real reason there isn't an intercalar anymore.
Yeah, let's be honest. You guys all reeked. Okay.
Why is there no? It wasn't even Scott's decision. It was Snowbird. No, sorry.
Can't have you up here anymore.
You guys are only here for 4 days, and it takes like a month to get the funk out of the clip clop.
Yeah. No. They called and said, hey, this is the clip clop. You guys reek. Please don't come here. Well, a Yu-Gi-Oh card tournament smelled so bad that one female player decided to drop out because she could not stand it anymore. Personal hygiene is always important, but some gaming conventions and tournaments have earned a reputation for their players not exactly showing up fresh. Over the years, we've seen plenty of instances where athletes smell causes backlash, and it's not limited to the United States. Earlier this month, the Japanese tournament went off the rails when a player's smell was so bad it made a competitor quit. Well, the situation became public on a thread on, I'll just call it Twitter.
Yeah.
because I refuse to call it X. I'm sick of trying
Twitter formerly known as X.
Yeah. Where a player expressed concern for one of the women competing after revealing it was her first Yu-Gi-Oh! Event and was under the impression she got clobbered. However, the female player would set the matter straight, revealing she left because of the third-rate duelist with fourth-rate hygiene.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Third-rate duelist with fourth-rate hygiene.
Pretty hardcore, man.
Sometimes the best defense is a strong offensive smell.
Yeah. Says, however, the female player, let's see, where was that? Oh, I left halfway through because I couldn't stand the smell, she said. Not that I'm sad about losing at all or anything, she says. In the comments, the players elaborated on the disgust, explained that the smell was no laughing matter and urged the duelist to take better baths.
oh, no.
she says, there are stinky female duelists, but the men in the class are in a class of their own, she says. Well, she went hard, dude. She went hard.
Yeah.
Anyway, don't.
And then that person, the player rode home in my Lyft, apparently, because that's that is what they do.
And it never left.
I try not to offend anybody, but man, sometimes I cannot. After somebody gets out of the car, sometimes I just can't get the windows open fast enough to air things out.
Do you ever have it Seinfeld style where it won't leave? It just stays there.
No, fortunately, no. Thank God.
That's good. Just rush.
Yeah, I've got a little can of Febreze. I just kind of, I know it masks it, but it also does a little bit of like enzymey or some, not enzymes, but there's some sort of bacterial killer thing, and spray that right on the offending area.
Do you have
not
a
towards?
Do you have a limit? Like if it was so bad, you would be like, sir, I can't go on. Please.
I've almost reached that limit. I had a passenger who smelled really bad, and it always feels like those are the rides that are 40 minutes to the other side of town or something.
Yeah.
And it was a situation where I was actively trying to breathe as shallow as I could to not take smell up my nose, to take any of that smell. And but I can't imagine it being worse than that.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine like hurting somebody's feelings by saying, I'm sorry, you smell too bad, I can't drive you anywhere.
Yeah, I'd almost have to come up with
I'll suffer, you know. I don't want anybody to feel,
you could just
I don't
go
want to make anybody sad.
You could just go, oh, my car's about to explode, you should get out, run for cover, it's gonna explode. <That's right. laughs>
Exactly. Oh no, my car stopped.
Oh well, I guess, you know, yeah. I guess you gotta get out now, and then you spare their feelings. And
you know, Stephanie, that's it's funny you say that. I don't have one in my car, and I should. She suggests a jar of Vapo Rub and just put it in your nose, which is what coroners do sometimes, or people who police when they have to walk into a really smelly house. Tina has done that when she's had to go in somebody's house that has not been taking care of themselves or the house or whatever, and it just reeks in there. She just goes dab dab, and all you smell is Vicks Vapo Rub. And I probably should do the same thing.
Yeah, you could do that. Just have a jar there handy. I do that with this stuff right here. I got a bottle of peppermint oil. Mm-hmm. And I don't use this to cover smells, but I use it to, if I just need like clear my sinuses or whatever.
Just a little, what do you do? Put it in your, like on your Philtrum?
I just dab it right here.
There you go. A little dab it right under the head. Yep.
Yeah, now cool. I smell, it's just a lovely pepperminty vibe, you know?
Nice. Lovely. Yes.
Glad I did that, actually.
Well,
feels good
that's,
now.
That's just a lesson to all those Yu-Gi-Oh! Players out there. Take a little bit of Scott's Essential Peppermint Oils with you and go dab, dab.
That's
and
right.
Then you can play against anybody.
I don't even know where this came from. Maybe it was a hint. Maybe Ken.
And then somebody
sent
you that article because it was a hint. Oh, you mean the peppermint oil.
The peppermint oil,
yeah.
My wife, maybe. I don't know why I have this. I didn't buy it. I don't know where it came from. Anyway, that's going to do it for today's news. We're going to take a break. When we come back from this break, we'll have Dan, the tabletop man here. I got a question for him regarding his business, but also we got a bunch of big news about a very, very popular and influential game that is now coming to tabletop, as well as getting a sequel in video game form. So we're going to talk all about that in a second, but Brian's got to play a song first.
I'm required to do this. This is a pop artist named Isolde Fair, like, you know, the old Tristan Isolde or Isolde. Isolde, I think it is. Tristan Isolde. Mm-hmm. This is a brand new single from Isolde called Strip Away, as Brian patiently waits for the people in chat to clear up how I'm pronouncing or clarify how to pronounce the name. Yeah. This is a 20-year-old musician making her debut single as a solo artist. Really, really good stuff. So a little bit more pop, but with some kind of strings and orchestral bits to it. Really love it. Anyway, she's got two videos for the song, a New York Story version directed by Jake Mosco, shot in New York, and a Los Angeles version directed by Jared Schwartz and shot in Los Angeles. So she's not only making some great music, but also doing some pretty clever stuff with the videos. This old fair, here is the song. It is called Strip Away.
Can't have your boy going around kicking people in their testicles.
Nudity.
And we're back. Who is that one more time?
Yeah, that is Isolde Fair and a brand new song called Strip Away. Check it out and maybe even go and watch the video on YouTube.
Yeah, why wouldn't you? Oh, damn it. Hold on. That's such a dumbass. All right. I called Dan directly.
Let's add Dan to the call, but delete Brian from the
problem is I was just chatting with him and I had that up still and that looked like where I was, and you know, these Discord chats, they get confusing. All right, here we go.
Here's a tangent for you.
Be careful, may cause drowsiness.
Yes, indeed. Dan, the tabletop man, joining us from North Carolina. Hello, Dan, how are you?
Greetings, programs, and how are you guys today?
Good, good.
We're good.
You know, we finally got to see Tron for FilmSac, mm-hmm. and it would they've multiple times greetings programs in there. And
it makes me smile every time somebody said that. I was like, oh,
well, it's like
so great. It used to be like a little Easter egg that I love to say, and now you know, with resurgence of its popularity again over the last 10 to 15 years or whatever it's been, so it's pretty cool.
I've never asked you this, but you a big time old fan of Tron? You like that stuff?
Oh yeah, I loved it when it first came out, like, because, you know, being a little kid in the early 80s, it was just kind of like, oh my god, did you see that movie? Like, now you look at it and you kind of laugh, but it was still so cutting edge for back then.
Oh yeah,
you know, as far as being a computer geek, of course, you know, you just
unapologetically love that movie, and I'm really excited about the new one. I rewatched the Legacy not long ago. I'm always down for more Tron. Bring it in, bring it
mm-hmm.
on.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
There's
Scott. I've got it. There are a bunch of, well, I wouldn't say a bunch, but there's a bunch of college hockey teams in Utah. They're all club teams. There's no D1 or D3 teams in Utah.
Right.
But there's a bunch of club, and club hockey has a huge, like, I don't want to say it's a surgence, I guess, because it's not a resurgence, because it's just something that's up and coming in the U.S. now, where you have your elite of the elite, like Division One, Division Three. There's not really a lot of Division Two teams. And those are, you know, that's you're talking Division One. You're talking about your Michigans, right. Your BC. Denver just won a national title. Mm-hmm. But club hockey, people just love hockey. I mean, Brian, you've got a local minor league team that you go to watch, or do you go to Avalanche all the time?
No, the minor league that we're the team that we go see all the time is the Mammoth, Colorado Mammoth, which is lacrosse. Okay. If we were going to go to hockey, probably we would go see the DU Pioneers, the national champions, because we can't afford to go see the Colorado Avalanche. It's expensive.
The pro teams price themselves out like crazy, even around really here do. Where it's always been traditionally cheap. They've kind of starting to price themselves out of things, the Canes. But but just going to watch a game is just so, like, thrilling and exhilarating that even, like, and especially when you're talking about college games, these schools are finding that even the club level, you know, they have a Division One, Two, and Three of the club level, that people will fill those arenas, and they can just make money on gear and food and everything else, and it's just a huge income for just raising awareness of that school and stuff. So you've got all these club programs. So I mean, you've got, like, Utah has one, BYU, Weber State, Utah State, Westminster, Utah Valley, Southern Utah, and Utah Tech all have club hockey.
Oh, I didn't know that. Utah Valley is close. I could go to games if I wanted. Well, I guess I go to University of Utah. Does the U of U have them or no? No club team there?
U of U? I thought U of U did. No, it says the Utes. That's the U.
Oh, that
U
is them. Right? Yeah, they got it.
Easy for me to say. Yeah, the Utah. And they're actually pretty good in D1 club.
Okay. All right. That's cool. I didn't know that. I mean, so our IHL team, the Grizzlies, I don't know where they ended up this year. I know they didn't win much. I think they kind of just sat there.
they'll probably move once the big, a lot of times they won't keep the same, you know, big cities won't keep a minor league team in the same city when they do have a pro team. So if there's, like, you know, if there's another fairly big city around the area, they'll end up moving over there. Because that happens a lot of times.
That was my question because I'm looking on their website, and they've got a big thank you banner up for the season and all that. But I'm guessing when this deal goes through, it's not if now, it's just when, they probably get moved. And that's a little bit of a bummer. Mm-hmm. They've been here for a long time.
Yeah. But people usually don't care, because if you can get a pro team, you know, they forget about those minor leagues pretty quick. You know,
I can see that.
Which is really crazy how that all developed in the last, like, 2 months, where usually you have to wait 2 years before a team moves, and now it's like, see ya.
Yeah.
See Arizona.
Yeah. We're this gone. This Ryan guy's got so much money. He's probably overpaying. That's fine. Whatever. I've always felt like we deserve more pro teams here, and I don't know why we don't have them. The fan base for the Jazz are freaks, dude. They are hardcore. I've never met a more hardcore sports fanatic. People don't like playing here. The Bulls used to complain because for an away game in Salt Lake, because we're dicks. like just loud, the loudest crowds there. I think every year they get ranked as like some of the like most loud, annoying. Like you're trying to do free throws and they just are the balloons and the shit and the rah. I know there's some new rules with that, but anyway, I'm excited about this.
And I'm sure they've got like plenty of room for hockey. And I'm sure they have like, you ever see like Disney on Ice in that same arena and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Because they'll just use, generally it's a regulation, you know, ice surface. So probably not a hard thing for them to put into that arena either.
Yeah. Plus they just got the name back to Delta, which is how we all, you know, no one called it Vivint Home Security Arena or any of that bullshit. So now that Delta has it back, it just all feels like everything's coming back. It's good. I'm pretty happy about it. All right, let's. We didn't poison Jordan. That's a myth.
is that really something that?
Yes, it's in the documentary for that 5 days or five. Oh, yeah, whatever it is. There's a whole thing where he got deathly ill during one of the playoff games. He still scored 68 points or some shit like that. He still won the game away. I mean, it blew everybody's mind how well he played. But the rumor was that fans delivered pizzas to the players and that they poisoned the pizzas to make them sick. Utah fans to the Bulls players. Oh, it was never verified or proved.
How could you?
It was never proved. Look, I'll admit two things. One, everybody here still thinks that Jordan pushed off on to win that final game.
And I'm sure he did, because that's all he ever did and never got called for it. I'm a starving Knicks fan who had to grow up with Jordan. And my wife is a huge, she went to UNC, so of course Jordan can do no wrong. And I freaking hate him because I'm a Knicks fan.
Yeah, no, you gotta pick your battles, right? But in the documentary, they made a pretty good case for he didn't. Like, they have a camera angle where it doesn't look like he pushed off on him. It doesn't matter. People here are just set in they're locked in, man. It's a cult. The anti that game Jordan pushing off cult is strong as ever. And that was 35 years ago or something.
Wow. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. When it comes to Jordan, there's a lot of things in this world where there's a dividing line. Either you like Monty Python and Holy Grail or you hate it. Jordan, you either love or you hate it. There's definitely dividing lines with certain subjects.
Yeah. I mean, there's no denying his dominance and his, all that. It's just, that isn't the issue. The issue is, do you hate him or not? If you really love your teams or not. Anyway, Dan, I got a quick question about medicine before we move on to this good news that we have to share today.
Good news.
Dan's, of course, a working dude in the world of medicine and distribution of said medicine, pharmaceuticals, and so on.
Some would call me a pharmacist.
Some would call you a pharmacist.
But would they be right? Is that would they be accurate?
They would be very okay. Correct.
Right.
Okay, good.
So I still have never seen you in like the white coat. I really need to see that.
Oh yeah.
Oh
man, I hated wearing a white coat. I used to get in trouble all the time because I refused to wear a white coat. I hated it.
You rebel, dude. Rebel without a cause. Yeah.
Do you ever bring home the little metal spatula that you use to like push pills into bottles and like to make like little tiny pancakes?
So yes and no. So the reason why, I'll tell you why. We used to get them, so many of them that like you couldn't possibly keep you get them for free from drug reps and companies would just send them because like as you're counting pills, they would have like their little logo right there.
The
like,
logo, sure. Of course.
Yes. Yeah. So just like I'm going to be like, oh, you know what we need to give people more of? Clarithromycin. We need more Bioxin in here because Abbott sent me a tray. So we got to get more of that in here.
So that's what we need. Yeah, right.
That's great.
So, so we would actually get them and we would have a few at home. But I mean, if you ever have a cooking spatula, they're actually the counting spatulas are just as good as those too. But yeah, I mean, I don't have a whole lot of things laying around my house that I need to count by five.
Sure. So. That you need right now. That you need that much. Sure. Okay.
Fine. I want those Bond ones from the Bond movies, the big spatulas we always talk about on the show. And when we watch it on FilmSack, where they reach out and flip cards with the big long thing. That's
The casino paddle things. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I want a pair of those. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I won't cook with them, but I just want to have one.
Do you have your Simlish handy? My salt, scabbardinate, baccarat bulk.
I don't have it handy, but I'd love that.
Oh, okay.
You know something that we do get, that we do kind of, some people collect them too, and we have it. My wife has a few really old ones. And Johnson, I bet you have a mortar and pestle at home.
Oh, yeah.
Because of all the spices and stuff that you know, your wife makes and stuff. So that's very handy to have at home. Mm-hmm. And we use those in pharmacy because you can, you know, you're basically making either poultices or doing other compounding where you're breaking, you're either breaking down sometimes into emulsions or just breaking some tablets down into powder so you can do some compounding and such.
Right, right. Now, it's, look, you got to have the tools if you're going to get the job done, right? That's what we're. That's what this is.
Somebody may have to look it up. It's probably the first time anybody said the word poultice on the morning stream.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's ever said poultice. You may as well say. You may as well say
first time poultice. You what say, about a mustard plaster?
Oh yeah, mustard plaster
poultice.
Sure.
Yeah, it probably goes down. It might be more of a maybe more of an emulsion, but you know, you never know.
No one's ever said that either. No one said emulsion before.
No one has said emulsion.
Yeah. How about
actually? I'll bet, for some reason, I'm feeling like Bill might have said an emulsion. Might have described something with an emulsion.
Some chemical thing, yeah.
Some resin thing.
How about what's that word I never use? It's how about a salve? You know, a nice salve.
Oh, a salve, yeah.
Plenty
of
salves. Oh, so that was that reminds me too. You do sometimes will use one of those. It's funny that you say that because sometimes we would use a one of those spatulas because you can kind of mix your own creams at home. Sometimes people will mix like over-the-counter hydrocortisone with maybe a little bit of, you know, some other over-the-counter creams that you might find, you know, like a bacitracin or something like that. You know, and you use those, you know, you have if you have a little bit of wax paper, which is another common thing for cooking, you could do kind of a half and half and you would use a spatula to kind of, a lot of times you'd use a little figure eight thing and you can make like a 50-50. And that does help a little bit because you may not want the full amount of just the steroids. So you might want to steroid and an antibiotic to make your own at home instead of buying something that's like twice the price of that.
Yeah. Well, all right. So look, we've learned many things already and we're going to learn one more when I ask you this question. Why do brand name drugs cost so much more than generic ones? Now, I understand in a more like, let me use a practical example. I know when I buy Nike shoes, why I'm going to pay more for those than I am at Payless, right? Usually, exactly. It means the quality of the shoe, though, is a lot better. You are paying a lot for brand recognition, but also the quality of those shoes are better than something I would get at Payless, some equivalent, you know, high tops or something. But why is this true in generics versus brand name meds when the chemical makeup of the meds are identical? What is that about? Is this just purely like a, I don't know, like a brand, well, I only do brand name drugs, like the way people only do brand name purses or something?
It's generally, it's a monopoly thing too. So think about when you have a brand name drug that first comes out, when we put out, you know, Ibitstein's, you know, the next great anti-inflammatory.
Careful. Ibitstein. Okay, good. All right.
Choose your next words very carefully, Dan.
Your ED medication.
He's the only one. So now, you know, Brian's company is the first person to put out this drug and they have a patent on it. So, of course, nobody else can make this. No generic manufacturer can make it because he has a patent on the chemical makeup of that. So he can charge a little bit more for that. And he will charge a little bit more. And there's standards because generally almost any drug nowadays is not really going to be totally new or novel. So there's only so much you can really charge without losing the market. And of course, that's a whole nother business to figure that out. But so it'll be a lot more expensive when they come out. And then what you're paying for there a lot of times is not necessarily the drug itself, you're really kind of paying for the next 15 years of that company's, you know, R&D, you know, the research. Maybe you're paying for kind of what has already gone down because most drugs nowadays, you're talking about 15 to 20 years in a pipeline before they even get out there to be published or released and such and produced. So you're paying for that. Now, what happens when a drug, let's just say, depending on the drug, if it's what they call a Me Too drug, whereas, you know, if Brian's anti-inflammatory is just another derivative of ibuprofen, you know, and if it's Brianprofen, then they may not give you the full 17 years. They may only give you like 7 to 10 years of Brianprofen before it goes generic.
It's right there, the first two letters of ibuprofen. It would totally be ibuprofen.
Ibuprofen. Ibuprofen. 2 B's. Just add 2 B's.
That's right. It just changed the pronunciation. Whole new product.
So then you may not get as many years for ibuprofen before it goes generic. So then, then once it's generic, now the brand name manufacturer probably will keep it still because they'll probably be the one that gets the patent, the initial because generic even has their own exclusivity. So when something goes off patent, usually one generic manufacturer will bid for like the first 6 months or so, and then there's only one generic. So then it's still pretty expensive. So then, you know, Brian may actually win his patent for his own drug. So then it's basically all he's doing is throwing his brand drug into the generic bottle, and they're still making a lot of money off it for another 6 months. And then everybody else in the market can do, because a lot of times, one of the better manufacturers and a lot of the big time generic companies, almost all the big time generic companies are owned by brand name companies. So right. You're still getting the quality. Now, you had a really good, Johnson, you did a really good job explaining, you know, brand versus generic. But a lot of times if you go into like Walmart and you get those, you know, quote unquote generic jeans, they're made, you know, they could be made by the brand company. But if what you're using a jean for is just to have clothes for protection, it doesn't matter whether you have Levi's or Johnson jeans, because you're getting what you need. That's why a lot of times generic medications, they're just the same. I mean, very rarely are you going to get any more quote unquote quality, right? Because you just can't. The FDA is just way too stringent on quality, and they are constantly having to send in, you know, you're constantly having to send in more data every year or every other year or such to show that your quality is just as good as it always is, or just as good as the brand name. And then what ends up happening to some brand names, you know, there's a lot of drugs where the brand name is just gone. They don't even make it anymore because it's just not worth it for them, because there's so many generics and they're just not making enough money on, because people are, you know, insurance companies are not overpaying.
Right.
But there's all sorts of, like, I don't want to call them backroom deals, but there's all sorts of like deals that are going on between like brand name companies and even like the state and federal government. Because I basically do reviews for Medicaid in certain states. And a lot of states, the preferred drug on a Medicaid preferred drug list is the brand name of a medication. And it drives pharmacies crazy. And I can't really blame them, because they're not really they're having to stock this more expensive med, and they're not really getting as much paid for, you know, as high a pay rate as they could make. You know, their margins aren't going to be as good as if they were dispensing a generic medication. And I'm sure the government's not paying them great anyway. You know, I'm just kind of a middleman, so I'm not really with the government. I'm kind of a middleman with doing the Medicaid. But there's so many brand name drugs that are quote unquote preferred because they get rebates from the brand name companies. So it's not considered, because it's the government, so it's not a kickback, it's a rebate. So it's just it's all fancy wording for the same thing.
So it's interesting, because right now there's a influx of these drugs that essentially, like Ozempic is huge at the moment for both diabetics as well as people want to just lose weight. It's like the hot new thing. You're starting to see the semaglutide stuff that doesn't have the brand name happen, and people are getting it way, like, when I say cheaper, I mean like fractions of the cost.
And only some of that is legal, and there's a lot of loopholes and a lot of the compounding stuff in, because for a long time the semaglutide wasn't available as far as the powder wasn't available, because my wife's a compounding pharmacist, so she's dealing with some of this right now too.
Right.
So the big thing that you're seeing with Wegovy and with Ozempic is that they're on these huge manufacturer back orders, and that's the company's got to get their butt in overdrive to put more out, because if it's not available, then it is legal to do whatever, you know, whatever you want, as long as it's being made in those right, you got to have, I believe it's an 800 sterile compounding laboratory,
right.
Because again, this isn't just a tablet. It's got to be, you know, this is injected. An injectable that's, even though it's IM or sub Q, it's still an injectable. It's going into the body. So you've got to, it still has to be very sterile.
Yeah, but so the reason I bring all that up is it seems like they have the brand recognition and name advantage for the moment, right? So they can they're still going to be the only ones you hear commercials about, backlogged or not, at least for the foreseeable, right? And then I assume that's the pattern this takes for a while. It's, I don't know.
Well, there's four or five main ones that you see right now that are all, I mean, and I see them every day. This is pretty much like the biggest thing that I've seen in the last 6 months is all these weight loss or GLP-1s, which most states won't cover it for quote unquote weight loss use. So they have to prove that they're using it for type 2 diabetes. Whereas, other regular insurance companies, they may pay for either one. So right now you see a lot of Ozempic. You've got Trulicity, Byetta, Victoza, and I'm forgetting one. But anyway, so those are the main ones that you see a lot of. And
they all sound like bosses in a wing of a World of Warcraft raid.
They really do.
They do, yeah. He cleaves, so make sure you get it from the back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And then so you, and the other ones for weight loss they have are the newer ones. There's Mounjaro, Wegovy, and Zepbound. These are all, again, they could either be bosses, Pokemon, or drug names.
Right, it's just, right.
Those are all the main ones that you see now for weight loss. And so the thing is, I'm just waiting for the ceiling to fall, because anytime in history that something comes out that is the quote-unquote wonder drug, all of a sudden one day somebody finds something and or it starts causing something, and then they're all off the market for you. I really hope it doesn't happen, because they are pretty amazing as far as helping with your hemoglobin A1C, which is your basically your blood sugar. They're helping with the A1C. They're helping with weight loss. There are some side effects with kind of, you know, nausea, which is a big one, but your body kind of gets used to that a lot of times. And then also they're starting to see some things with kind of GI paralysis. But that's not quite, that's a very rare one, but you're starting to see them, because kind of part of what it does is it's messing with your gastric emptying. So you're feeling like you're full as well as some of the other things that it does with your, you know, with the glucagon and such, with the,
slows your way down.
So you're seeing a lot. Yeah.
It's a, for,
if
for,
you're full, you're not gonna eat.
For the type twos, it does feel like, side effects aside, it's got, you know, this is a powerful thing for them, as all the rage in Hollywood for everyone to lose weight. I feel like that will explode. Something weird's going to happen there. And oh, the other thing is muscle loss. You lose muscle loss, or you get a lot of muscle loss on it if you're not working out all the time. So that's
right. Well, and that's the thing that people have to really realize, and that's what you try to really stress to anybody using any sort of drug ever. You know, even when it comes to things like lipid drugs, like Lipitor, you know, atorvastatin, simvastatin, like even drugs like that, you've got to have diet and exercise. You just can't be eating worse because you know you're on a weight loss drug. That's not going to help, and it's going to hurt all the kind of I'm trying to say symbiosis, but that's not it. Like just all your copacetic of your body, like everything's got to be working in order. If you're screwing around with one thing and not replacing other things, you're just going to mess up all your, you know, all your cohesion of your body. So like you said, losing weight, losing muscle mass is not good, because that's where, you know, like you say, it is true that muscle does weigh more than fat. So, I mean, when your body's losing stuff, eventually it's going to start breaking down other things as well. So you got to eat right. You've got to exercise. And it's an amazing drug. If you've got diet and exercise and getting you back onto the good train, my God, you can lose a lot of weight, get yourself back into a healthy area. And then, like I say, with a lot of drugs, I mean, once you get to the point, I mean, obviously you can't do this with all drugs, but drugs like this, when you get to where you need to be, just stop them, because you don't need to be putting crap in your body no matter what. You don't need it.
That's a pharmacist telling you guys that. You guys hear that? Listen to that. That's smart advice. I like it. Dan, let's talk about the big news. The big news is Slay the Spire is already awesome. It's the most influential deck building game of all video game time. Even if there are better ones since, you can't deny its impact.
Yeah, it is the first name on the list when you think of deck builder.
Absolutely. Like,
one of the best. I mean, even though some great ones have come out, it's still one that people play like crazy, and it's still one that people go back to.
It's still like top 10, and top three probably of all time. Yeah.
It might have been the first, and it's still one of the best, which is pretty hard to do. A couple of years ago, they put out a Slay the Spire, the board game, on Kickstarter, and it just started to release. So when Slay the Spire, the board game came out, the first thing I said is, you know what? If I want to play Slay the Spire solo, I'm just going to play it on Steam. I'm just going to go ahead and grab the computer game. And then I went ahead and backed it at the collector's edition level, because I just could not hold back, because it's Slay the Spire anyway. And even for the hope of it to be good, I was all in anyway.
You got to do it. The name carries some clout. Sure. And like, games I like even more. Like, I really like Monster Train a lot. I think Monster Train is almost the perfect version of one of these games. But I don't think Monster Train exists without the trail blazed by Slay the Spire.
Slay the Spire.
So
absolutely
it deserves such a ton of respect. It's got a sequel that was just announced. That's coming out in 2025.
Mm. Oh, cool.
But in the meantime, this board game, tell me, what's up?
So I'll tell you this. It came in last week on Friday, and I had to dip into it. It is freaking amazing. It's so good, especially if you're a solo board gamer like I am a lot of times. You will really love this game. If you like roguelike deck builders and you like solo gaming, and there are multiplayer rules. They're a little chunky, but they're still there and they're okay. And I've by all accounts, the multiplayer game is still very, very good, but I can't stress enough how great this game is. And they're going to have a companion app, which will probably speed up some of the things. Now, I say this all the time, And before you laugh at me, Johnson, I want to tell you this. The game itself is a Johnson game, but the setup and gameplay is just not. I feel like it might be a little too fiddly for you because.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep going.
Because before you even start playing the game, you've got to put like sleeves on about 300 cards. Now, I don't know if
really?
You.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't have to. Well, come on now.
Well, you don't have to, but when you're, because it's a deck builder, so think about how many times you're shuffling. Have you played Dominion a bunch?
No,
like,
I
you know
not.
How much you're shuffling? Okay, so I'm trying to think like
good games deck where I have to shuffle a lot, but you know what? There's something I like. I know these purists. I know these purists like you, Dan, who want to keep every card in mint condition and spend, you know, 2 hours when they get a new game putting every single card in the sleeves, but I kind of like a little tiny little bit of dog ear on the corner, bit of a nick here and there. And, you know, if somebody has the wherewithal to say, oh, I know that nick is the 500 gold piece card and smart enough to get it when it comes up, fine with me. I'm fine with it.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's a good point. Because actually, since you do so much shuffling, they're high quality sleeves. And I've gone away in the last few years. I am not really a quote unquote sleever anymore. There are a handful of games that I will actually still sleeve, but it's very, very rare. This kind of came with the collector's edition, which is kind of why I did it. But again, you're shuffling so much. So
it came with sleeves for the cards?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, they were all in the box. Okay.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I didn't buy extra sleeves. These are all really, I'll have to send you guys some pictures afterwards about like what it looks like. But the sleeves are high quality, and you can actually shuffle them pretty good. There were some sleeves that came with some games, you know, that are just not great quality. Star Wars deck building game that came out from Fantasy Flight last year, they came out with these promo sleeves. They were flipping awful. They were terrible. Like before you were even done with one game, they're splitting. They're coming apart. They were just awful. These sleeves are among the highest quality sleeves that I played with. But the game itself, when you're setting it up, so different nodes, you know how that map, you know the map of like Slay the Spire where you're going up the different paths? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
yeah.
There are certain nodes in there that are random. So right. You have kind of like, there's two different types. There's one with a white back and one with kind of a gray back. And you're shuffling those up and you're putting those out for, you know, act one, act two, and act three. So you got to do those before each act. And then Act 1, Act 2, Act 3 both have, all three of them have their different, they have the different question mark rooms, which are all cards. They have elite rooms, which are different cards. There's summons, which you don't have to shuffle those because they're just summons. And then there's the encounters, and those you all have to shuffle. So you're shuffling all that stuff. When you go to Act 2, then you've got to put those away into the box, grab out Act 2, all the new cards, shuffle those up, then you're reshuffling. So and then you have your starting deck, which is about 10 to 12 cards, depending on which character you use. And then you have your kind of your drafting deck, which, you know, after each time you win, there's rewards. So you're drafting, you pull three cards. So you have to shuffle that pile before each act, because as you're getting them, you can get, there are a couple of random cards that are called golden tickets that basically what it does is it'll give you that that chance, that rare, like if you pull one of those, then you get a rare that will come up in your three reward pile. Then there's also things like artifacts that you've got a big stack of those that you're shuffling before each game, the potions, and then the boss artifacts. So there's a lot of stuff. But Johnson, man, you would love this game because I know how much you love deck builders.
I love
it goes without saying, Brian, you're going to love this game anyway because I think you're also kind of a deck builder guy, but I think you'd have more patience shuffling.
And I like the fact that the way you describe this is, this is a game that is almost better as a single player experience than as a multiplayer experience. And that does intrigue me because a lot of times Tina won't have time to play a game and I can knock one out down here on the poker table and play something.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Because I've had it set up on my game table. Because I've got a game topper. I've got a set up on there. I've had it for like the last 4 or 5 days. And I've played all four of the main characters because it's got the same four main characters as it does in the base game. Was it the Ironclad, the Green Guy, Defect, and the Watcher? Silent? Is that the name?
The Silent or the Green Guy's. He's kind of it's like your nature, your druid style thing, but they have a name for it. I always forget it.
They've got all four of those. I've played
the Ironclad,
through.
The Silent. You're right. The Defect and the Watcher. Those are your four.
Yep. And they're all on there. And they all basically. And what's cool is the game also has like quote unquote unlocks. So there's cards that you're not supposed to use until after you've played through the game a few times. And then depending on how many bosses you beat, you're unlocking some more of those cards to throw in a game, and it ups the difficulty a little. And then there's also ascension levels that you do unlock as well and put other things that make bosses harder. So the whole game is kind of meant to be played more and more and more. And it's I beat it on a first try with the first three characters. The Watcher I lost after first act, so I started it again. So I'm right in the middle of another playthrough with the Watcher. But of course, like, you know, sometimes with the video game, you're doing these crazy combos and things where you're doing like 30, 40 damage, things like that. The game is distilled it down, so like the numbers are much more manageable. So it's not quite exactly the same as the video game as far as kind of what things do. But the way it handles the monsters, the way it handles the bosses is amazing. It does have some challenge that will kind of, you know, and the challenges go up as you play it more and more. But I can't stress enough how freaking cool and how amazing this game is.
I'm very happy to hear that. My only complaint about Slay the Spire to then and now is that I hate the art style. I freaking can't stand the drawings and stuff.
It doesn't look like it's getting any better on Slay the Spire.
No, it's on some of these cards, yeah. I see it there, yeah.
Yeah, and the sequel's probably...
Oh, and they have edition. Yeah. They had a special edition where they put out where like it had like special edition, like first things art, and that's even worse. And I was like, yeah, I'm not getting that. I just, you know, at least they tried a little bit, and it's in a lot of it with some of the cards are a little bit updating, but most of it is the same art from the video game. And that's what drives me crazy about the video game. So the video game, Slay the Spire 2, it says going into early access in 2025, and it looks... A lot of the art looks the same, and you know how to play the game. You're not really giving us that much. You know, you're giving us maybe another character, but what's going to take so damn long? You should have been, you know, creating this in the last few years because it's been out for I don't know how many years. It's like Spire's been out.
Yeah, I hate waiting, and I hate not. I mean, I really don't know where the innovation's going to be. I guess we're not going to find out for a whole nother year, so it's going to be a while. Yeah. But in the meantime,
hopefully, they borrow some from some of the innovation that some of the other companies have come out
with. And if any of you out there are tired of Slay the Spire, please go play Monster Train. It's so good. It's so good. It's my preferred one. Yeah. I like it more than Slay the Spire. It's a fantastic
game. I have hundreds and hundreds of hours in Monster Train. I got to I think it's like whatever it is, Ascension 25. They call it something else. I think they call it Ascension. But man, I played the heck out of it for so long, and I haven't played it in a long, long time. But did I play the heck out of it.
That's how you know. That's how you know a good game is good. I bought it on Steam. I bought it on Xbox. I have it on PlayStation. I own it on mobile. It's wonderful on iPad. It's so good, you guys. That is such a good game. And every time I used to log into Steam, and I'd be like, all right, well, let's see where Dan is today. Oh, Monster Train. Okay, cool. You were always in there.
If anybody can go to the Discord and just let us know what your favorite roguelike deck builders are, because there's so many now that they fall under the radar.
Yeah.
Like I've got probably a half a dozen that are kind of coming soon in my Steam wish list, but I'm always looking for new ones. And that's kind of probably the most common thing that me and Johnson will text about. Oh, did you play this one? Did you see this other one?
Yeah. Like this new one, Rogue Spells, one I'm currently hooked on. It mixes dice with, so it's basically Slay the Spire and Dicey Dungeons mixed. If you ever played that
Spell
game.
Rogue.
Cool. Spell Rogue. Sorry, Spell Rogue.
Spell Rogue.
I always want to say Rogue Spell and mix it up. But anyway, it is awesome. I wish that was on mobile. It's not. I wish it was also on Mac. It isn't. Oh, no, it is. I'm sorry. They updated
it. Is it?
I think so. Shit. Am I thinking of something else? I think it is. Anyway, cool. that game's fantastic. Okay. If you like
wish list.
Like a little dice in there. Oh, what a game. So good. Well, Dan, as always, a pleasure. May all the board games you get be full of rules and difficult scenarios, and I hope
I appreciate it, boys.
Yeah, I hope whatever. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, check out. We're gonna be recording another Geek All Stars this week, and you can find me at Geek Jack Dan on Twitter. And like I said, let me or X or whatever. I refuse to call it X.
Too. I know I can't.
But of course, let us know any of your roguelike deck builders. I will see you guys next time, and have a great week.
Awesome, dude. See you later. I was just going to mention this, and I'll preempt it with this.
Yeah, Spell Rogue, still no Mac. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to... This is just a notice that Dune 2 Digital is available today. Today is the day. So go to Apple. You can go to Apple. You go to Amazon. Wherever you get your 4K digital... this isn't like Netflix streaming, not like that. But like pay $29 and own it. Today's your day. Today's your day.
Nice.
Sorry, what were you going to say?
Oh, Spell Rogue, no Mac version yet.
What was I thinking of?
Don't know.
Something just got Mac support, and I was so excited.
Was it? I mean, you mentioned Baltoro, which
that's it.
Yeah,
that's what it was. Another amazing game.
That is another amazing game.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I haven't yet. I've got it installed on here, and I have not. I've still been. Last time I played, it was still on my Switch because I can only play it on the big screen with the Switch. Now I can actually have it on the in the corner and be like, oh, I'm talking on the. I'm on a Zoom call with a customer, but I can play a little Baltoro.
It's an amazing second screen. I'm on a meeting, a boring Zoom meeting game. Mm-hmm. It's perfect for that. All right, that is going to do it for today's show. Real quick here, tonight, the Monday show on a Tuesday. Carter had an appointment yesterday. We'll tell you all about how that went, but that'll be tonight at 6 p.m. Also today at noon, Word on the Street with me and Brian Holinka, formerly of Blizzard fame, now with the Fantastic Pixel Castle crew. Going to talk about video, or going to talk about their new MMOs, Combat. So far, I mean, they're early in the process. They just showed off some stuff. I'm going to really pick his brain today, so be there today, noon, right here at frogpants.tv for the live show or the podcast later. And I think that's everything, unless you have something. Brian, do you have anything else before we go?
Nothing. We'll see. I've got to, oh, I can't even hold this up because it'll spoil a potential Taskmaster. Not even potential. It'll spoil a Taskmaster thing, so I can't show people what that is. But if I can get this thing done, then... a little Millennium Falcon build today, hopefully.
Nice.
Hopefully. Instead of me lifting, watch me lose small screws in my workshop. A lot of fun thing to do.
Yep. The funnest part is finding those screws after you've lost
them. That's right. That's why I have magnets. I have those magnets, Scott.
Magnets. Wow. That's fantastic.
Magnets.
Let's get
America magnetic again, folks. Sorry, I was sleeping. I didn't catch what you were talking about there.
Yeah, I heard he slept in his, fell asleep in his thing.
And his mouth went slack. I love it.
That's amazing. Yeah. All right, let's dive into...
Wake him up.
I mean, look, I would be bored in a case as well, but this is like a big one and you're also on camera. Saying,
they keep bringing up Hush. Every time they bring up Hush, makes me fall asleep. He says, oh, the Trump paid some Hush money and I fell asleep because I hear the word Hush.
Yeah, he listened to his mom when he was little. I get it. Hush, little baby, don't say a word. Grow up to be a great big turd. All right, Brian, let's do a song out of your massive library of songs we can play. What do you got?
Okay. Hey there, Slicer and Beefsteak, says Andrew/Bubba West. I'd like to request a cover of or by Dave Matthews Band for my beautiful wife, Justine. 10 years ago today, my wife... I'll do the whole thing in Dave Matthews speak. 10 years ago today, my wife and I were surrounded by friends and family getting married at the Chapel of the Flowers in Las Vegas. Since then, our plans have changed in ways we never could have thought. We moved 25 miles into the country onto a 5-acre plot because our cat, Griswold, was a terrible neighbor. She wanted a garden. Now we have 2 giant greenhouses, 10 fruit trees, 47 chickens, 3 cats, now 46 chickens, 2 dogs, now 2 cats, a nearly completed Airbnb in our basement, and a pretty booming business at the local farmer's market. If my plans go right today, when she hears this, we will be driving into town to eat at our favorite Mexican restaurant, Guadalajara's. There's no J in there. I was hoping it would be Guadalajara's, but it's Guadalajara's. He says, Justine, I'm excited for every moment we get to be together. I love you, honey, and I'm sorry it's not the Bob and Sherry show or the brand that sounds kind of sexy. Oh. Still pretty neat, though. Bubba, West Acres Garden, Stratford, South Dakota. I need more information about that last line, Andrew. Okay,
yeah. Please? Yeah. Can you fill us in on what you meant by sexy Brian? Please.
Yeah, maybe I wouldn't. Maybe I'm going to go to another request right now and pick somebody else. P.S. I have right angle scar on the tip of my finger from pinking shears because I didn't listen to my mother the first, second, or third times. Little boy Bubba was naughty.
Wow. All right, letting it all out.
Damn it. All right. Well, I'm going to play your request anyway, Andrew and Justine. I don't know what the Bob and Sherry show or the brand that sounds kind of sexy, but, you know, whatever. Fine. I'll play this anyway. Speaking of sexy, this is a sexy cover. This is Jody Sider's cover of the Dave Matthews Band's The Space Between. A beautiful song to begin with and then delivered by the amazing vocals of Jody Sider's just increasingly, exponentially sexifies it. From her album Uncovered from 2013, here's Jody Sider's and The Space Between.
You can't quit me so quickly. There's no hope in you for me. no corner you could squeeze me. But I got all the time for you, love. The space between the tears we cry, so laughter keeps us coming back for more. The space between the wicked lies we tell and hope to keep safe from the pain. But will I hold you again? These fickle, fuddled words confuse me. Like, will it rain today? Waste the hours talking, talking. Twisted games we're playing. We're strange allies with warring hearts. What a wild eyed beast you'll be. The space between the wicked lies we tell and hope to keep safe from the of a roller coaster. You know you went off like a devil in a church in the middle of a crowded room. All we can do, my love, is hope we don't take this ship down. The space between where you're smiling high, it's where you'll find me if I get to go. The space between the bullets and a firefight is where I'll be hiding, waiting for you. The rain that falls, splash in your heart, ran like sadness down the window into the space between the wicked lies we tell and hope to keep safe from pain. Take my hand, 'cause we're walking out of here. Right out of here. Love is all we need here. The space between what's wrong and right is where you'll find me hiding, waiting for you. The space between your heart and mine is the space we'll fill with time.
Get more at frogpants.com.
Pleasure, treasure.